Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to the Dudes on Hockey podcast. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Hey, dude, you know what I'm doing right now?
Looking for things to talk about?
I'm literally typing into my iPad hockey news to see what comes up because...
we have got nothing.
As I was coming over here today, I thought to myself, what the hell are we going to talk about? I mean, like, we feel obligated to do a podcast because the listeners...
Demand it. I have been getting crap from some of my friends.
Well,
they're like, where's the podcast at? Tell Doug to start teaching again so you guys can have a regular podcast.
Well, I hope that they enjoy the 20 minutes of boredom that we're about to present to them, dude.
Yeah.
Because really,
there's nothing.
I mean, there's nothing to talk about. There's a, you know, one major piece of Sharks news, I guess, which is Joe Pavelski's extension,
mm-hmm.
which is 5 years, $30 million.
Right. The same as Logan Couture.
And your initial reaction to this extension is?
They paid a little bit more dearly for Pavelski than they did Couture. I think Couture seems to be a more dynamic, explosive player in the scoring department. Certainly is a center that scores, which actually is a little bit more rare than you might think, especially since the Sharks have traditionally had a lot of centers that have distributed the puck, like Joe Thornton, and not so much done the scoring on their own. But so Pavelski, and especially with Pavelski, you know, we've talked about Pavelski maybe being the third line center. You're given the third line center $6 million. But of course, he'd be a top six forward on most teams in the NHL. So I'm not disappointed with the signing by any means. I don't think it's a ridiculous amount of money. I don't think it's uncalled for. It sounds like right now Couture is probably the better player. So when they get the same money, you think to yourself, okay, well, maybe they just had to pay a little bit more to keep Pavelski. And I have no problem with that.
It's Doug Wilson up to his Doug Wilson tricks. I'm right. These guys, well, not Couture because he would have been restricted, but Pavelski on the open market.
Yeah.
Would have gotten more than $6 million a year from some Yahoo on the East Coast.
Yeah, that's true.
Would have given him more, you know? And probably the Minnesota Wild, you know, to get him to go back up to the Northeast and, give him the Heatley money. Give it to him.
Right.
Get him to come back up here. And so to get him to stay and not even consider seeing what would happen, you know, when he approached free agency is vintage Doug Wilson, right? I mean, he got Brent Burns to re-up here before he'd even played a single minute in San Jose. So guys who come here love it here. They love playing for the Sharks. They love living in the Bay Area. And they don't want to leave. Even some of them who we wish might leave, like Patrick Marleau. That's not fair.
No, it's not.
No.
I'm making
a joke.
I'm sure he's a wonderful person.
No, of course. I saw him at Happy Hollow.
Did you?
I did. I walked past him at Happy Hollow and it was too late. By the time he had walked past me, he had his son with him.
Yeah.
And he, I parked next to him too.
You didn't go with like a vintage Doug maneuver?
Patrick Marleau. I didn't say anything. No. It was too late. Too late.
No opportunity to
just shout his name. I was pretty sure that I parked next to him because the car was so tinted. Like, it was a really nice SUV that was like totally overly tinted.
Right.
You just couldn't. It was like a fortress of privacy.
It was like CIA tinted. Nice.
Anyways, so it's good. I'm glad he's part of the core. I think it was a bit of an... I say a bit of an overpay just because, you know, I don't think he's worth the same amount of money as Couture, but if he went on the open market, he would get more. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you've got to pay the piper to keep your guys.
Right.
And in this case, this wasn't much of a hometown discount, I don't think. But But in the way that it probably is, if you consider Buffalo might have given him seven.
Right.
Right?
And also, you see a lot of these teams, a lot of players seem to be interested in these longer-term contracts. You see a lot of teams signing these players to these eight-year extensions, which
that's
you get.
That's a good point.
Or a seven. I have no doubt that if Pavelski hit the open market, there would be multiple teams that would offer him a seven-year deal.
11 years, $100 million from the Flyers.
Exactly.
Right. No, you're right.
There would be some team that would offer him the full seven years, and that's when you're in a livelihood as capricious as professional hockey, where you can get hurt and essentially lose your job any moment. You know, 7 years guaranteed money is good times. I can see why a lot of players would want that, because you don't know what's going to happen next. You could turn into Brad Boyes. You score 40 goals 1 year, and then the next year you just fall off the table and you're looking for a job.
Right.
So, yeah, I get that. And the fact that he took, you know, he didn't go for the eight-year deal. Obviously, he could have been signed to an eight-year deal by Doug Wilson. He decided to take fewer years, decided to take a reasonable amount of dollars. That really shows that he wants to stay in San Jose. That makes me feel good as a fan of the Sharks.
Management is happy with how this team performed at the end of the year last year and clearly wants to keep their core together. Kevin Kerr has reported that they have had preliminary discussions with DB22.
Nice.
With Marlowe and with Thornton about their next contract. All three of those guys are up next year. I mean, those three guys and Scott Hannon are the four unrestricted free agents.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Mr. Hannon, you're not in the same category.
Afraid not.
So will any of those three guys re-up before the season ends?
I think before the whole season ends or before the summer ends?
Before the season ends.
Oh, yeah. I just don't know which.
Uh-huh.
I have no clue. Obviously, I want it to be Boyle. We've talked so many times about how he's got the skill set that you can't just go out on the open market and replace, and you can't just go out and draft to replace it. You could go out and draft a defensive forward. You maybe even be able to go out and draft a guy who can distribute the puck. Of course, it's not going to be guaranteed to be as good as Joe Thornton. It's not going to be guaranteed to be as good as Patrick Marleau. But it's really tough to go out and find an elite puck-moving defenseman. And that's why they make so much money, and they're so hard to come by. So, of course I want Boyle. Of course I do. But, yeah, I'm. There's two things. I have no doubt that at least one of them will be signed, but I also have no doubt that at least one of them won't be, right? I mean, is it really conceivable that all three will come back next season? What's your chances? Let's play odds makers. Let's play the PTI odds makers game. Odds of all three players playing for the Sharks in 2014-2015. TikTok.
I know. I'm going to say 60%.
60% all three are back.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep, because
I'd go 15%.
Wow, dude. I think you are discrediting how much Doug Wilson loves this team. See, and how much these guys love to play here.
See, on other teams, I'd say there's a 50 if this were an East Coast team or a younger team, I'd say there's a 50% chance that none of them would be back.
Yeah, I think obviously, they're all individual cases.
Mm-hmm.
And this will be a different contract than they've taken in the past. Whereas, you know, some of these guys, Marlowe and Thornton's last contract were 3 years, right?
I think so.
And Boyle's coming off a monster contract he signed with Tampa Bay. So this is really his first contract with Doug Wilson. I mean, we're talking with these guys, you know. I mean, how old are they? Boyle, he's going to be looking at a 2-year deal.
Right.
Right?
He's going to be it's going to be a plus 35 contract for Boyle. So 2 years, I think, would be all the Sharks would want to do.
And Joe is 34. Marlowe, 34. I mean,
33, 34, yeah.
So, I mean, those guys are going to be still probably looking for 3 years, right?
At least. I mean, if this very well might be the last contract for both of them. I mean, I think Thornton's got the kind of skills. We've made the analogy of Thornton and Adam Oates, who was a very productive player even at 40. Since his game wasn't based on speed, but vision and distribution, I think Thornton could easily play until 40 or 41 and be very effective. I mean, Thornton might be looking for a five-year deal. I could see both of those guys looking for five-year deals. What did LeCavalier get? Yeah, 20 years, $80 million a year?
No, I can't remember.
What the Flyers give him?
Yeah, I think they gave him 3 years, 15,
okay.
Didn't they?
Yeah, I know he got less than five a year.
So,
but LeCavalier is older than Thornton and Marley.
But that's probably...
I think 4 years is going to be what... 4 or more years is what they're going to be looking for.
Ooh, there's no way. I mean, there's no way they'd give them 4 years if they gave them three the last time.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not going to go up in years.
Well,
I mean,
the
thing is, the Sharks might only be wanting to do 2 years.
Yeah.
It's going to depend on how this team does, which is, you know, why I think I would give it a 5% chance that they're signed before the summer's over.
Anybody is signed before?
Any of them. 5%.
Really? Okay.
Because I think he's going to see, you know, if this team does poorly,
mm-hmm.
if they play like they did in the first half of last year, mm-hmm. after the 7-game win streak and they just took a huge dump.
Yeah.
Then strategy changes maybe. And right. you, instead of re-signing these guys, you might be looking to move these guys at the trade deadline. And just, you've got your core signed. You've got Vlasic, Burns, Couture, Pavelski, Torres.
Mm-hmm. Niemi.
Niemi. Well, Niemi's only got 2 more years. These, yep. Those are all guys who've got 3+ years left. And Adam Burrish and Hurdle. Those guys right. all have 3+ years on their deals left to build around. I mean, those guys aren't going anywhere. You know,
that's a good point. It's a good point because I think the chances, you're right. Certainly the chances of all of them being signed by the end of the summer is precisely 0%, because you're right in pointing out that these are very, you know, it's a business of hockey and these guys are valuable negotiating chips. There's always teams that are looking to add a piece, like the Penguins last year, like the Bruins last year. They're looking to add a piece to try and put them over the top of that cup favorite position. You know, there's teams that overpay at the deadline to get exactly the thing that they want. Douglas Murray. And so having all those guys signed would be strategically a terrible move for Doug Wilson, because these are all valuable players. And if none of them are available at the deadline, then Doug Wilson has no mechanism to test the market.
Yeah, I think we saw how skillfully he maneuvered that this summer, where mm-hmm. or in the spring, with how he turned Murray, a player who is unsigned, and I'm not going to say unwanted. I'm sure people want him, but no one's throwing out. I mean, we're talking 1 year deal for Douglas Murray wherever he goes, right?
Right.
And he got 2 seconds for him.
Yeah.
And basically, he got Tyler Kennedy in a second for him.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's. Yeah. I when you make that trade yeah. every single day,
absolutely
a very useful top 9 forward who can score 20 goals and a second for a number 6 defenseman.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh yeah.
Oh yes.
Oh yeah. So, you know, and we're talking Marlowe, Thornton, and Boyle. All three of those guys are worth double mm-hmm. what the guys he traded this year.
Right.
You know, Hans, Zeus, Klo, and Murray are in category B and C, mm-hmm. and Boyle and Marlowe and Thornton are in category A.
That's true.
These are Olympians.
Right.
These are gold medal winning all-stars that you're going to see. If they get moved, we're talking huge returns
yeah.
for these guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If they're healthy.
Right. If they're healthy. So, dude, this sort of brings up the point about the free agent market, which is something we talked about in the last show. And some I was reading Twitter this morning, and our friend Andy Bench tweeted about, there are so many free agents out there. Brunner, Morrow, Murray, all these guys, unsigned. What's going on with this? Is there some sort of quiet period in the NHL that we don't know about? Why are these guys still floating around? I mean, all of those guys will be playing. It's just, it's so odd to me that I can't remember in all the years I've been following hockey or following the free agent market as closely as we have, certainly since the beginning of this podcast, has there been a quiet period like we've seen this summer for free agents? It's not like there's nothing out there for teams to sign. There are good players, lots of them
yeah.
around.
Well, here's the problem, dude. If you look at CapGeek, the Flyers have no cap space. The Bruins have no cap space. The Penguins have no cap space. The Kings have no cap space. And the Sharks have no cap space. So mm-hmm. five of the best teams, they can't add anybody right now. Now, that's debatable, right? With the Sharks and probably the Flyers, because that's not taking into account their long-term IR
right.
situations. And possibly Boston too. You know what I mean? I'm not sure what the status is of the Savard deal. And the Red Wings, they have $300,000 in cap space. $300,000. And I don't think they have anybody who they can put on long-term IR. As I'm looking at their roster here,
yeah.
I mean, that's a major problem. If they want to keep Dan Cleary, then yeah. they've got to trade somebody.
And Brunner. Brunner and Cleary.
They can't keep them both.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
They might not be able to keep
either. They might not be able to keep either of them. Now, there's been a rumor that, you know, they've been begging Nashville to take Tutu back, you know? So.
Good luck with that.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, maybe they will.
Yeah.
You know, he was a huge fan favorite.
Fan
there.
Favorite. I'll give him that.
You know, and there might be some other team that might be willing to take him for nothing, yeah. you know? But he makes almost $2 million. I mean, that's. You know,
I just never understood that.
You
know,
anyway. he's not worth that much money. I mean, that guy is not worth it. So you're looking at some of the biggest spenders. Even Edmonton has 1.3 in cap space. Blackhawks have 2 million. Columbus has $2 million left.
Yeah.
If you look at the teams that have the most, Islanders, Panthers, no one wants to go there.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Buffalo, I think they're in limbo. Right
except
now.
For Scott Gomez. He wants to go to the right. Panthers.
But Buffalo's in like no man's land right yeah. now. Like they went on a spending spree last year and it did them no good.
Right.
So they might be thinking, we're not going to go out there and overpay for a bunch of guys. Colorado, same kind of situation. And then you've got New Jersey, even after signing Jágr, which, you know, they got Jágr for what? Jágr signed for... He got $4 million.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and that, frankly, that's a bit of an overpay.
Yeah. The way Jágr is right now, I think you're right. But they need all the help they can get.
Sure,
they're desperate.
They got totally hosed.
They got hosed by COVID.
They got hosed. We didn't talk about that.
We didn't?
No.
Oh, yeah. I guess we didn't, huh?
So, I mean, there's two camps here on this. It's in the player's right to do this, make this decision, and tough on New Jersey, and Kobe wants to go back to Russia. Or Kobe is the Darth Vader of hockey. He's a total a-hole, and he has completely hosed the Devils, and he's Satan incarnate.
Either way for the Devils. I mean, they signed him to this billion-dollar deal.
Oh, they build the whole team around him.
They build the whole team around
him. You let Parisi go.
And then they get slammed by the NHL for obviously circumventing the salary cap, and they get punished for it. And then he stays there 2 or 3 years, and then he leaves. And now the Devils are, like, in bankruptcy, which we'll talk about in a minute.
Right.
So, yeah, there's no upside for the Devils. I mean, the Devils got completely screwed. There's no way. I guess you might be able to squint a certain way and say, oh, well, now they don't have to worry about paying him. But who cares? He's an elite player. You don't just like lose an elite player and be happy about it. I guess if he was like this isn't like Jeff Finger, who is like pointless. I mean, this is a great player any way you slice it. Maybe they were paying him too much. Maybe they weren't. Who cares? The fact is he's one of the best players in the NHL. You lose a player like that, you got hosed.
Yeah. Yeah. Oops.
Yeah.
Oops. It's not like when Corky went back to Russia, it didn't really affect the Sharks that much.
You know, I don't blame Kovalchuk for wanting to go back to Russia. You know, I don't know what it's like to play in a completely foreign land. Maybe, you know, the culture doesn't agree with you, doesn't agree with your family, all this kind of stuff. But it does bug me a little bit that if he was feeling this way, then why sign a 17-year deal? Like, that does bug me a little bit. Because it's not like you just, like, wake up one day in
July. He saw dollar signs, dude.
It's not like you just wake up one day in July and you go, you know what? I really don't like America anymore. I'm out. You know? I mean, obviously, he's been feeling this way. And he sort of thought, okay, maybe I can deal with it. Maybe I can't. But why not give yourself the ability to say, listen, pay me max money for 3 years. That'll save you the, you know, maybe it's not great for salary cap, but at least it won't be, like, a huge problem. But no, he just like decides to ditch in the middle. I don't know.
What if Couture wakes up tomorrow and decides he wants to go back to Canada? I want to go back to Canada. I miss my beloved Blue Jays.
But he can't play in Canada because it's NHL.
I will go back. I will play for the Ottawa 67s.
Again.
I will be an underage.
Yeah. Or I'll play in like that senior league with George LaRocque.
Oh, dude. It is awfully funny.
Yeah, it is. It's just
it's terrible. I mean, I feel bad for the Devils who now have gone from a playoff team to a joke.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, like, not a total joke, but not exactly what you'd... I mean, they're not... Well, I say they're not going to make the playoffs. I don't know that. Right. But certainly, you're building your team around an old Eliash, Klo, and Jágr. Oh. And, you know... But how are you going to make the playoffs with that kind of lineup? And Klo's got scrambled eggs.
I mean, even if he's okay, it's not like he was awesome last couple of years anyway. Yeah, it just gets worse and worse.
Dude, before we I think we've done pretty well.
We're over 20 minutes nothing.
I've just kind of been looking again at CapGeek, and even the teams that are in the middle, they only have like $4 or $5 million of cap space. I'm pretty confident, dude, that a lot of these guys, they're either going to be going to Europe or they're going to be taking
massive
one-year deals, massive pay cuts. We're going to see a lot of guys in on tryouts, guys who were regular shift players. I mean, you look at players like a Marty Reisner, who was in demand like a couple years ago, unsigned. You know,
well, I mean, like, and there's players way better than that. Grabowski.
Yeah, well, Grabowski made $5.5 million last year. He's not going to make that this year.
No,
because unless he wants to go to the aisle, and maybe some of these guys are going to have to, they're going to pick the money. They're going to go to Florida or the island, or they're going to pick to compete, and they're going to go to a team that has middle road cap space, like an Anaheim. You know,
right?
So we'll see what happens, but there's a lot of players on this list that are NHL players that, you know, I wouldn't discount some of them still being available in,
a month
when we're getting close to camp opening,
And then those guys panic a little bit.
Sure. Well, I think some of them are going to go overseas, dude. I mean,
yeah. I guess the real cause for that is the fact that the cap came down so much in 1 year. And you're right. And all these teams are just sort of hamstrung.
Yep. Hamstrung. Hamstrung.
Well, if the Sharks are able to offload Marty Havlat onto LTIR, then they might get a little relief and they might be able to bring in one of these guys.
Giving up on there still being two more guys added to this team. I don't believe that. I can't see Jason Demers and Hannon playing every single night. I can think one of those guys is the extra, and they got to find another guy.
Tennyson?
No, not yet. Not ready.
All right.
That's why I'm sticking with Ian White on this.
Okay.
Because he's falling into this. He's even lower on the totem pole than many of these guys.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Ian White right now is getting close to camp invite status based on that list of people.
It's true.
It's not good. You know, so if Sharks have $5 million of space, I mean, you might be able to add two impact guys for not even that whole amount.
Right. That's true.
On one-year deals.
I like this idea.
I mean, we're not even mentioning the Malhotra idea, which, I mean, he's even further down on that list.
Oh, yeah. He's like, can he even play?
Right.
He's the Greg Oden of the NHL.
Dude, he's coming to camp. I'm telling you. I'm telling you.
Wow.
He's coming to camp.
You're calling it.
I'm calling it. You'll replay this when camp opens and Malhotra's in camp. He's coming to camp because the love is there between the Sharks and Malhotra. He's already done this once with San Jose and been successful. Vancouver doesn't want him back. He liked it here. It wasn't that he didn't like it here.
He just got offered just a dump truck full of money. You
can't blame him for taking it.
Absolutely
not. So if you need to rejuvenate your career, you've already done it once here. Do it again. Come on back, Manny. Come back.
Baby, come back.
Okay. Dude, when are you going on vacation?
Well, we might be able to do one more podcast before I go on vacation.
Okay.
And then I'm going on vacation at the end of the month. So there's going to be 2 weeks of no podcast unless you want to play engineer and producer and do some sort of recording on your laptop.
We might
do it over Skype.
Yeah, it could happen. We've done that before when you were in India.
That's right.
Yeah, so... I wouldn't. I'm sure your wife will be thrilled on your tropical vacation while you sit down and talk about hockey.
That's an hour a week.
Yeah.
Who cares? There she is.
I hear her in the background commenting.
All right, dude. Well, right. I guess we finally run out of topic.
Okay. Well, good to see you, dude.
You too.
And good to see all the listeners. And thanks for loving us.
Thank you.
Go Spurs.
Hate the show? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.